السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa, Alhamdulillah, we have observed the fasting of the month of Ramadan with Allah Ta'ala's fazal. But it seems that we have returned to our old habits again. That noor, that spirit of Ramadan vanishes with the sighting of the new moon of Eid. So therefore we have to look into the hadiths of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whether we are not caught up in fitnas. Therefore over the next two or three majlises, I wish to put before you the mirror into which we should look and see which fitna has gripped us. If Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua, نعوذ بالله من الفتن ونعوذ بالله من النار ونعوذ بالله من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن, رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم made the dua that, oh Allah, protect me or protect us from the fire of Jahannam. Now Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, there was no question of him going to Jahannam. There was no sin. Nabi علیہ السلام was masoom. He was sinless. He was assured, he was guaranteed that there was Jannat for him, and all Nabis are masoom and sinless. So it is for the Ummatis, for people like us, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching us the seeking of protection in Allah from the azab of Jahannam. And immediately after that, the connection between azab of Jahannam and fitna is so close that immediately after seeking protection from the azab of Jahannam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that we also seek protection in you, O Allah, from the fitnas, ma zahara minha wa ma batan, whether they are zahiri fitnas or they are batini fitnas, fitnas which are apparent and very clear, or fitnas which are within, which are not outside. So fitnas of the outside and fitnas within. And muhaddithin have also mentioned that here it could also mean ma zahara minha ma batan, that ma zahar means those fitnas which were already in existence at that time, and ma batan, those fitnas which are going to come till the day of Qiyamah. So Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in his short dua, he asked for protection from all the fitnas, whether they were existing at that time or not existing. All the fitnas that were going to come till Qiyamah, Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked for protection. Now the literal meaning of fitna is when you take gold to test whether it is true and solid and genuine gold or not, you put it over the fire. So that is the fitna, testing. But afterwards this word fitna got a very wide meaning, that any kind of trial, any kind of test, in fact any sin, any disaster, all these things became known as fitnas. So let us look at this dua of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and in the light of this dua, let us see which fitna we are caught up in and what is the effect of that fitna on our lives. Hazrat Maulana Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayh, I can't help but repeating again that beautiful karamat of his, or kashf of his, that many times in his majlis he said, phool to kya daloge turbat pe meri, ارے تم سے خاک بھی نہ ڈالی جائے گی. پھول تو کیا ڈالو گے تربت پہ میری, ارے تم سے خاک بھی نہ ڈالی جائے گی. اس ٹو ٹیل دا پیپل مینی ٹائمز ہی سیڈ دیٹ وے ول یو بی ایبل ٹو پٹ سینڈ آن مائی فلاورز آن مائی گریو, یو ول ناٹ بی ایون ایبل ٹو پٹ سینڈ اوور مائی گریو. بٹ دے ڈیڈ ناٹ نو واٹ ہی ریئلی مینٹ. بٹ وین ہی واز گوئنگ ٹو مکہ شریف دا جرنی آف حج, دین جسٹ اے ڈے بفور ارائیول ایٹ جدہ ہی پاسڈ اوے, اینڈ ڈیو ٹو سم communication problem, although permission had been granted for his body to be brought over, but due to the delay his body was put into the water. That time they understood what he was saying, where would you be able to put sand on my flowers over my grave, you won't be even able to put sand over my grave. Now till the day of Qiyamah he will be getting one Hajj sawab. But the thing is that he was a person of that kind of kashf and karamat. So he states in the commentary of this hadith of fitna, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الْفِتَنْ أَيْ الدُّنْيَوِيَّ وَالْأُخْرَوِيَّ مَا ظَهَرَ وَمَا بَطَنْ أَيْ مَا يَتَعَلَّقُ بِالْأَمْرِ الظَّاهِرِ وَالْبَاطِنِ أَوْ مَا ظَهَرَ الْآنِ أَوْ مَا سَيَظْهَرُ فِي مُسْتَقْبِلِ الزَّمَانِ. He says that is what it is. That's this fitna that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is seeking protection from, it is either the fitnas of this world or fitnas of the akhirah. It is the fitnas of the zahir or fitnas of the batin. Fitnas which are in existence or fitnas which will come until the day of Qiyamah. Every kind of fitna, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is seeking protection, and he is not really seeking protection. He is teaching us that you will be living in such times of fitna. So at that time, make plenty of this dua and seek protection in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala from the fitnas, because they are going to come from all sides. And you won't even know which fitna has knocked you flat. Because the times will be so, it will be so difficult in the times of fitna to differentiate between haq and batil. Because the people of haq will be running towards batil also. So at that time, how is a person going to differentiate what is haq and what is batil? For example, just one fitna of tasweer, photography, just one fitna. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent wahi to him. He was in direct communication with Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala knew fully well what he is prohibiting and for what reason he is prohibiting. We do not deny the advantages, that there are certain advantages in photography. But that like that Allah ta'ala says that even in sharab and in gambling, there is a little bit of benefit. But immediately after that Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَر مِن نَفْقِهِمَا. The harm, the sin of that is much more than the benefit that lies therein. So there are lots of things that there are benefit in it. People always look at a few benefits and advantages and they say, but there's so much of advantage, so much of benefit. Indeed, there's a lot of benefit in a lot of things. But for us, the guide is the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Now at one time, it was picture making, drawing of a picture. Then it became a silent picture. When the camera came, then first it was silent. After that we had walkie-talkie pictures. The movies, the cinemas, the theaters. And now where has it led to? That a person makes one picture somewhere, and till centuries the thing remains and people keep seeing it, and all the haram that is committed by seeing such filthy pictures, the sin keeps on going to the person who was the original maker. But because of that, look at the fitnas that have arisen, that you just can't pull back now. It's impossible. It has become like a runaway fitna. So much so that the good ulama and mashayikh, so-called shuyukh, they too got trapped in this fitna. And it has become practically impossible for them to quote those hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in which Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited image making of animate objects. Because this is a fitna which has taken everybody. It's a huge wave that has swallowed up everyone. So now it is so difficult. Now we have to justify. This is what I'm talking about, fitna. That then justification starts. One is the person was not really posing. He was at some function or some program or some wedding or some waliwa and some political meeting, and somebody clicked and photographed him, then that is the sin on that person. But the other one is where now justification begins, that no, at that time it was because of this reason, it was because of that reason, because they had just come out of kufr and shirk, so therefore there was a possibility that they would have gone back onto idol worshipping, therefore picture making of animate objects was made haram. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. Which means that the iman of the sahabas radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in was so weak that if they came out of kufr and shirk, then there was a very strong possibility that they would have gone back onto idol worship. And our iman now is so strong, our iman is so strong that that fear is no more there. Therefore now it is permissible. Now can you see that fitna? This is what I am saying. This is just one example. That fitnas will wrap up everybody. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said there will be blind fitnas. Now it doesn't mean the fitna will be blind, but what it will mean is that the people will be blind. They will become blind to fitnas. We all have weakness, so we should have been seeking forgiveness. We should have not been justifying. But then this will become like a justification. Whereas I explained in some majlis of mine, and there's no harm in repeating, that if it had been permissible to take photographs and keep them for remembrance, we say that it is just to keep the remembrance. It is of sentimental value that there was a wedding, there was a walima, or there was this function or that function, so therefore we have taken a photograph and now we are going to keep it, but it is just for remembrance. It's not for worshipping. Then if that was the case, then I would have been the first one, if there had been an authentic picture of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, or Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, or any one of the 124,000 companions, then I would have been the first one to keep that frame in my home. Because, I mean, who does not like to keep for remembrance the pictures of these Sahaba-e-Kiram or Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam? But doesn't it ring a bell somewhere that 124,000 companions in Arafat? Now what was a better opportunity, occasion than to make a bit of pictures there, that there was Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stand and see how he looked and how he stood. And we all say that they were master artists. Everyone says Arabs were masters at art. And if they were not able to draw pictures, then what was the need for prohibition? Why were they told to destroy those pictures? It shows that they were able to sketch and they were able to give us images and pictures. But not one authentic one can be found of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam or any of his companions or any of their wives or any of their daughters. They got married, their children got married, their grandchildren got married. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his wives, his daughters, the nikahs took place. Then there was the battle of Badr there, at least we could have had some picture of that. There was the battle of Uhud there, there was the battle of the trench there. We could have had at least one sahabi while Rasul-e-Pak himself was taking the pick and knocking at the brock. He could have sketched Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and then up till now we would have been seeing that look, this is how the trench was dug, and look at Rasul-e-Pak sallam, how he himself is digging. Because we say one picture says a million stories. So could we not have had one picture like that? So this is what I'm trying to explain, that this was one fitna, just one example, that one fitna, but see how far it went, that it wrapped up the whole world. This picture and photography and movie making and filming and all that, it wrapped up the whole world. You go anywhere, even you go madrasas now, Darul Uloom, some of them in Pakistan, and you will find, even in India, and you will find the same thing, there's filming going on. In fact, so many of the collectors that come here, you will have Mufti so and so, and in his book, in the collection book, he will show you a picture there of 20 children that are studying the Hadith Sharif there. Then I ask them that, Hazrat, you have got this and you're going around for collection. If somebody asks you the question about, he says, "Haan, ab kya kare? Baze log bas uske liye rakh lete hai, jo dekhna chahte hai. Lekin hum aap nikal denge, isko nikal denge. Baat to wahi sahi hai." So you can see how this fitna, for the sake of a few miserable coins, even good alims are prepared to change the Sharia. This is what we are talking about, fitna. So let us look at what is fitna and in which way does it come, and which fitnas we are caught up in, and what is the way to get out of these fitnas. Because there is definitely, we are living now in the times of fitna. From all sides, fitnas are lashing. People are becoming blind because it's coming in the name of deen now. Before it was in the, if it was something that was sinful or haram, then everybody will say, well, that's a fitna. But when it comes in the form of deen, then everybody will say, well, no, this is deen now, this is not fitna. So he says that this is the meaning of fitna, of zahir and batin. Now let us look at it in his... He says, yeh samajhye ki ahadith se malum hota hai ke fitan ke bahut se aqsam hai. There are many, many categories of fitnas. Aur yeh aisi sakht cheez hai ke maut ko is par tarjih di gayi hai. Fitna is such a dangerous thing. It is such a great evil that Rasul Paak Sarsam in his dua, he has asked Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that before you involve a nation in fitnas, give me wafat and maut. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, before, O Allah, you get a nation caught up in fitnas, then give me wafat. That means when you have decided that now this nation must be caught up in fitnas, then give me wafat. Al-mautu khayrum min al-fitna. Al-fitnatu takunu min Allah wa min al-khalq wa takunu fi al-deen wa al-dunya kal-irtidad wal-ma'asi wal-baliyya wal-musiba wal-qatl wal-azab. وَإِلَيْهِ أَشَارَ بِحَدِيثِ وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ فِتْنَةً فِي قَوْمٍ فَتَوَفَّنِي. He says, these fitnas, al-mautu khayrun min al-fitna. He says, it's better sometimes to die and be under the surface of the earth than be on the surface of the earth and be caught in fitnas. Allah. As Rasul Paak Sallallahu Alaihi in one of his hadiths, it has been mentioned that Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam says that when certain things happen, and amongst them he has mentioned that when the rich in the community will become miserly, and when the affairs of the community will be run by the women, then at that time it is better to be beneath the surface of the earth than being on top of the earth. And there are other things that have been mentioned there too. So he says that this maut has been given preference to fitna, that instead of being caught in fitnas, we better be under the surface of the earth. Therefore, believe me, in these days, when a person dies with iman, and when we hear that he had a shahadat, or he had a beautiful mubarak death, then at that time the desire comes in the heart that I wish I was in their place. Allah. Because what in this world, what are you going to see? What we are seeing is still nothing. It is just the tip of the iceberg. Whatever Rasul Paak Sasam had predicted, we can see how true it is becoming. When he said that the time will come when the signs, amongst the signs of Qiyamah, that a person will be committing zina. People will be passing by, but they will not be able to even tell that person that what are you doing in public here. At the most they will say that just try and go behind the tree or go and do your evil action somewhere else. Or they won't even say that, they will just walk past. Now we can see how the pictures again have become such that it has become impossible for a person to raise his voice and say that this is haram, or to tell that disbelievers that this is a sin. Even your own Bible will call it a sin. Your own faith and religion will declare it as a sin. If a person has to stand up, he will straight away get titles that these people are from the old age and they are this and they are that. They will give them so much of titles that that one poor person will sit down too quietly. He will not have the courage to say anything further. So these fitnas, he says, al-mautu khayrun min al-fitna. Al-fitnatu takunu min Allah. Sometimes it's a test from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, which is the fitna. Sometimes it is from the khalq, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's creation, that the person is tested. He's getting involved in fitna. Sometimes the fitna is in the deen of the person. Sometimes the fitna is in the dunya of the person. Sometimes it is in his deen that he is tempted and he gives up his Islam and Iman for the sake of some woman or for the sake of some wealth. I had a letter very recently from a person. He says, well, now whatever happens, I cannot at any cost change my mind. I want this girl in my life, whether she accepts Islam or does not accept Islam. He says, as my parents are unhappy, but I am not going to change my mind at any cost. And he wants me to talk to his parents that whether she accepts Islam or doesn't accept Islam, he is going to marry her. But then that is not the end of it. After that he says that even if I have to change for her sake, I will not hesitate. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. You can imagine what must have happened to me when I read that letter. This is what we are saying, fitnas. That just one pretty face and the person is gone. A letter was trapped or intercepted, we may call it, by one APA some years ago of a standard 5 schoolgirl at one of our schools. And in that letter, a standard 5 schoolgirl was writing to this Christian boy exactly the same thing. I will do anything, I will wait for you, even if it means that I have to accept Christianity. So it's not time to sleep anymore. People misunderstand when we say that these things are fitnas and we should try to be very careful and on guard, then they think that this is all orthodox. But when the people are faced with the problems themselves, then they say, we wish we had heard. Because this is another big fitna that we don't want to listen to advice and nasihat. Nasiha mat kar nasihat, dil mera ghabraye hai. Nasiha mat kar nasihat, dil mera ghabraye hai. Main samjhu hoon unko dushman, jo mujhe samjhaye hai. Nasiha mat kar nasihat, dil mera ghabraye hai. Because when we talk these things, then we who are caught up in these fitnas, our heart, this palpitation begins. So he says, don't make nasihat, please don't make nasihat, keep your nasihat to yourself. Dil mera ghabraye hai. Main samjhu hoon unko dushman, jo mujhe samjhaye hai. Try and go and make nasihat in the weddings, in the walimas, and wherever any haram is taking place, and see if they listen to the nasihat, or they consider you as making bakwas. So he said, Naseha mat kar nasihat, dil mera ghabraye hai. Main samjhu hoon unko dushman. I consider that person as an enemy who makes nasihat to me. That is a fitna. So this fitna can be of irtidat, that the person gives up his deen for the sake of money, for the sake of a post and position, for the sake of some government position, or for the sake of some woman. And I have given you these examples. They are true and genuine examples, that you can see how the person is prepared to give up even his Islam and Iman. Of course, that person is not from Durban, he has written from somewhere else. But because I know the father of that person, so that is why he writes. Now, do you think I can explain? So I had to write a 10-page letter to him, trying to explain to him the importance of his Iman and the destruction that will come upon these faces one day. So this fitna can be sometimes in the dunya of the person. Sometimes this fitna is the indulgence in sins, that the person is indulging in sins and he is unconcerned. That is a big fitna of the time, that the person is indulging in sins but is unconcerned. In fact, the person makes a mockery of the person who does not join in that sin. The person makes a mockery of the one who does not join in that sin. And this is again no story. A young girl wrote just the other day that when she goes with scarf to the university, then her friends, they mock. They say, you are a snob. These are her words, that you are a snob. You are this, you are that. Now can you see the fitna? That one is that the person acknowledges that yes, it is my weakness. We should also have been like you. But instead of that, it's the other way around. That why don't you become like us? Unconcerned. Accidental sins, that is human. We are human beings and accidental sins we can commit and everybody commits. But that is the reason why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept the door of Tawbah open. Many times I have repeated this. That if a person slips and falls in a gutter, then he must get up and rush to the bathroom, have a shower, change his clothes, apply ether and perfume, and smell fresh again. That means if the person falls, then get up quickly, make plenty of tawbah and istighfar. Make plenty of tawbah and istighfar, that, oh Allah, I'm very weak, I'm sinful, I made a mistake, forgive me. That is the having the ghusl. And then make some zikr, make some tilawat, give some sadqah and charity. That is the applying of the perfume and ithar. And inshallah this person will again get closeness of Allah Ta'ala. Accidental sins. But if the person falls in the gutter, he does not slip and fall. He purposely drops himself into the gutter. And when somebody tells him, come out of the gutter, he says, no, you also come and join me in this gutter. The filthy water that's going into my nostrils and into my ears and into my mouth and into my bloodstream and system, you also come and enjoy the filth. Then what hope is there of that person's salvation? So this is another fitna, that indulgence in sins and being unconcerned. That the person does not even consider it as a sin. In fact, he makes a mockery of those people that do not want to associate and participate in that kind of sin. They'd say that, no, you are orthodox, you are living in the camel age, you are conservative, you are stupid, you are foolish. All those titles that they gave to Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba Ikram, the people give it. But there is no problem in that. For the person who is trying to tread the path of suluk, he wants to get the closeness of Allah and the marifat and the yaqeen and the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, then he will ignore all these type of comments. And he will say that if Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his Sahaba Ikram could have been criticized and condemned and jeered at and laughed at and mocked at, and then afterwards those same people became such khadims of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that they were prepared to shed their blood when Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam sweat fell. When they realized and when the deen came into their lives. So we should not be concerned about such kind of criticism. Yes, but it must be on haq. Hazrat Maulana Shabir Ahmad Usmani Rahmatullah Alayhi says, haq baat, haq tariqe se, aur haq niyat se agar kahi jaye, to phir dil par zarur asar karti hai. It must be haq baat, that is the first thing. It must not be just our opinions. It must be authentic, it must be the Quran and the Sunnah. And with haq niyat is must be said, that we want the person to accept and come out of his sinful lifestyle, and also get the marifat and closeness of Allah Ta'ala. And it must be presented in a haq way. Then it will definitely have an effect. Otherwise it will create another fitna. Otherwise it will create another fitna. That is also important, that you don't just go to a place where you know the person is not going to accept and go and take a rock and throw it at his head. Then give up this, otherwise we are going to do this and do that. That is not the way. Yes, if it is a majlis of this nature where the people have been for some time now trained to accept bitter words and harsh words, then it is understandable. But a person who is totally out, he is nowhere near deen, or he is making a mockery of Islam and the teachings of Islam, and at that time you go and start making nasihat there, then you are liable to make him make a statement of kufr and make him lose his iman. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah was a very great mufti. He was a mufti of Pakistan, and in fact we can call him mufti of the world. Look at his Ma'riful Quran, look at his fatawas, and a very pious and very muttaqi mufti, recognized by all. And he was also a senior khalifa of Mujaddid-e-Millat, Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. Once they went to one restaurant in Delhi, and there the tables were laid. So with him were another two or three khadims and ulama. So they said, nahi Hazrat, hum to niche hi baith kar khana khayenge. Sunnat yehi hai, niche baith kar khana. So now look at that, the wisdom. Now if we had been there, and if we were sitting down and eating, and we know that it is sunnat, then we would have been demanding it too. Hazrat Musa Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi said, nahi, is mahol ke andar aap kursi par baith kar mez par hi kha lijiye. In this mahol of the hotel, because that is where they were going to eat, there was not no other place there. So he says, now here to take our food and go and sit on the floor, he said, wo sunnat ka mazak udayenge. He said, aisi halat mein ye musalman jo hai, jab sunnat ka mazak udayenge, to ye kafir ban jayenge. At present they will just make a, they are at least Muslims, But when they will make a mockery of that sunnat, then they will lose their iman. So it is our duty to safeguard their iman and first teach them, educate them, and bring them to that level that they accept. So now here it was not a question of showing weakness in their amal by not practicing on that particular sunnat. But that occasion was not right, because it would have led to those people losing their iman, because the gentlemen were sitting there. So he said, aise mauke ke upar yahi sunnat hai. Now this is what we term as wisdom, that where to say what. So fitnas are gripping the entire nation of Islam, and we want a way out. But the thing is that we haven't got that basirat, that inner sight, to see and differentiate between haq and batil. The fitnas are engulfing the whole nation, but how is the person going to know that he has been engulfed by fitna when he is not considering and knowing the haq from batil? So that fitna to him is not a fitna. As far as he is concerned, it's entertainment, it's pleasure. Now the television programs, now they will come out with justification that television is beneficial for this purpose and this purpose. Definitely, there's a lot of benefits. But now if you look at the major content of the television, what is it? And to what extent they have gone now? Sometimes we read in the newspapers certain articles, to what extent they have gone? Complete nudity, sin of the last degree. Now at such a time, even if there is just 10% of that, how can a person justify it for his children or for himself? Because there is no such thing as that sins and haram. It is haram for the children, but not haram for the adults. That is the Western way. That if you are 16 or if you are 18 or if you are 20, then you can watch certain kinds of films. And underage, then you mustn't watch. Which means that there's two kinds of deen. Now our people are also accepting that. This is what I'm talking about. Fitnas. That it is sort of an accepted practice. They say, no, well, for our children's sake, well, we make sure we've got some control over it. That means for the children, there is some control. And for ourselves, there's no control. Because there's two kinds of deen. What is haram for the children is not haram for us. And then which father has and mother has the time to keep controlling every flick of the screen and changing scenes and whatever filth will be coming there? It has destroyed that basirat of the heart. It has created darkness in the hearts. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Sattakunu fitan. Very soon there will be fitnas. Kaqita'i laylil muslim. Like the patches of the dark night, patches upon patches, dark, really dark. He said, that's the kind of fitnas will come. A person will go to sleep, a mu'min. The person will go to sleep, a mu'min, he will get up a kafir. Or the person will be in the morning a Muslim, and in the evening he will be a kafir. Out of the pale of Islam. Why? Because during the day he will make some statements of kufr, or he will make mockery of some sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or he will make some mockery of some teaching of deen, or the person will begin to admire and like, deep down in his heart, he will have some love and liking for the cultural trends of those who are the enemies of Islam. That love and liking will come into the hearts. So the person will not even realize that his iman has already vanished from his heart. Because when the person begins to like what is of kufr, then that is the end of his iman. And how many people are saying these days that we wish this was permissible, we wish this was permissible. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. How many of them are saying that interest should have been permissible, then we could have been competing with the Jews in big, big industries. But this is stifling our progress. Interest is haram. This is haram. So you can see this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam referred to. He says, they will be selling their deen for the sake of dunya. For small, miserable gain, they will sell their whole deen away. We will continue inshallah ta'ala with this subject of fitnas. Then you will see after that fitnas in the homes, fitnas in the bazaars, fitnas, what we mean by all those fitnas. in the light of the hadiths of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala protect me, protect you, protect your families and my family, protect our children and the children of the Ummah, and protect the entire Ummah from those fitnas which are now definitely raining and pouring. As the example Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave, it will be like a tasbih, that if you snap the tasbih and one bead comes down, after that you don't require any effort. One after the other, one after the other, the whole lot will come down. Like that. One fitna after that, another one, and the person finally will be just caught up. All round will be nothing but fitnas. And then the heart will become sealed, because darkness upon darkness, darkness upon darkness, then khatam Allahu ala qulubihim wa ala sam'ihim wa ala afsarihim ghishawa. اللهم احفظنا من اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم اے اللہ ہم گنہگار ہیں سیاہکار ہیں بدکار ہیں سب کچھ ہے لیکن تیرے بندے ہیں میرے اللہ ہر قسم کے فتنوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما ظاہری فتنوں سے حفاظت فرما باطنی فتنوں سے حفاظت فرما دنیا کے فتنوں سے حفاظت فرما آخرت کے فتنوں سے حفاظت فرما قبر کے فتنوں سے حفاظت فرما حشر کے فتنوں سے حفاظت فرما اولاد کے فتنے سے حفاظت فرما بیوی بچوں کے فتنوں سے حفاظت فرما ہمارے گھروں کے اندر فتنوں سے حفاظت فرما ہمارے بازار میں فتنوں سے حفاظت فرما سکول اور کالج کے فتنوں سے حفاظت فرما اے اللہ بس تیری ہی حفاظت ہم چاہتے ہیں تو ہی ہماری حفاظت فرما ہم سب کو صحت دے عافیت دے سلامتی دے عزت دے ہمارے ایمان کی جان کی مال کی ہر چیز کی حفاظت فرما حضور پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے دین کو عام اور تام فرما سارے عالم کے اندر انسانوں کو ہدایت نصیب فرما اللہ حضور پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے جو بھی خیر مانگا وہ سب ہمیں نصیب فرما اور تمام شرور و فتن جس سے پناہ مانگی ہمیں پناہ نصیب فرما ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد بارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله